Our scripture reading for this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Hear now God's word for us this morning. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, that one is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the true strength, the life, and the redemption of all who place trust in you. Amen. Well, as always, it's good to be together in worship. And as we said at the start of our time, we are inching our way back to some measure of normality. And we can take the fact that we can gather even in limited numbers here in the church as a sign of good progress being made. These services are a continual reminder that we are making good progress. And now is not the time to let up. Now is not the time to get lax, but to keep up the good fight instead. And Lord willing, who knows, in the next few months, we may come back to full normality in the church. And what a gift that would be. So this morning, we're looking at what is one of my favorite biblical texts, John chapter 15, which contains one of Jesus's famous I am statements. There are seven of these statements in the Gospel of John. And I think they function as anchor points through the Gospel, these seven I am statements. And it's hard to tell from the English, but whenever Jesus says these I am statements, the underlying Greek words are the same. They can translate over into effectively Yahweh. All right? So these I am statements are Jesus revealing his divine identity to his followers. Okay? So as I said, they function as anchor points throughout the gospel. They keep us grounded in Jesus' identity as the only begotten Son of God. And I think each of the I am statements, they teach us something different about God, about how God chooses to relate to us in Jesus Christ. And I think back to the last several months when we were doing our Chemnay Kids service online. For those who watched it, we worked through all seven of the I am statements on a weekly basis with the kids. We made it into a catchy jingle, which I will not sing for you right now because there is no singing allowed in church. That's my excuse. But it's online for your viewing pleasure. You go to YouTube, Chemnay Kids. You can watch Heather and I dance around and sing the song to our heart's content. So with all that said, though, about the I am statements, how important they are, how they ground us in who Jesus is, let's jump into this morning's text. At the start of this passage, Jesus declares, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." In other words, Jesus is the true source of life, and the Father is the one who allows this to be so, who enables Jesus to be so even. And this is meant to show the incredibly close relationship between Jesus and his Father. Just as the vine dresser needs the vine, so does the vine need the vine dresser. There is no daylight between Jesus and the Father, in other words. To speak of one is to speak of the other. And after using this imagery to show his absolute unity with the Father, Jesus then injects a word of warning into his teaching by reminding his followers that the Father will remove any fruitless branch from the vine, just like any good vine dresser does, and he'll prune back lovingly any fruitful branch so that it may bear even more fruit in the time to come. I think this is very loaded and powerful imagery that Jesus is using. And so in verse 4, Jesus, as the vine, calls his followers to abide in him, and he will abide in them as well. Then he says to them, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, of course, we all know that for those of us who have done any gardening, if you cut a branch off from a tree, it's just a branch at that point. So unless the branch abides in the vine, neither can disciples bear any fruit unless they abide in Jesus. He makes this point even clearer in the next verse, saying, I am the vine, you are the branches, in case they didn't get it yet. Apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And we read through the Gospels, in his earthly ministry, Jesus depended on his Father for everything. For everything. Jesus lived a life of complete dependence on God, the Father. And we, as his followers, are invited to follow his example by depending on Jesus for everything. And that's the truth of the Christian life. The whole of the Christian life is meant to be one of utter dependence on Jesus Christ. We cannot ever prove ourselves to God. We cannot ever be in right relationship with God or with other believers under our own power. It's not something we earn. It's only through Jesus, through his righteousness, through his love and his grace, that we can be in right relationship with God and with others. If we had the money in our church budget, and I see our treasurer is in attendance over here, so make this a request perhaps, I would like to redesign the main entrance of the church. Okay? Knock the whole thing down and rebuild it. And over the entrance of the church, through actually every entrance of the church, we have John 15:5 inscribed on the doorway. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Do we have the money for that? Okay, we'll talk later. But I'd like to have those words just emblazoned on the church. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. We live in a culture, friends, that preaches a very false gospel of self-reliance and individualism. We are always taught that we can and we should do as much as we can on our own. And our society lavishes praise on so-called self-made men and women. But that's an absolute myth. There is absolutely no such thing as a self-made person. The truth is that nobody makes it on their own. No person is self-made. No person is an island. And it's even more true for us as Christians. As Christians, we cannot grow on our own. We cannot succeed on our own. We can only grow, we can only succeed when we are firmly rooted in Jesus Christ. If we are asked, what does it mean to be a Christian? We might give a whole variety of answers to this. And faith means different things to different people, to be sure. But if we are asked this question, what does it mean to be a Christian? Our answer must include, at the start, something along the lines of, being a Christian means being a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. As Christians, we can certainly engage in many very worthy causes. We can combat racism. We can advocate for refugees. We can feed the hungry. We can care for the poor. We can go on kilt walks for Christian aid. These are all fabulous, commendable, laudable things. But as good as these things are, and they are good, they cannot be the foundation of our Christian identity. If we make anything or anyone besides Jesus our foundation, then our faith will quickly become tiresome and one-dimensional. Only a living relationship with Jesus the vine can sustain and grow our faith. As most, if not all of us know, and if you don't know yet, you will now, we are embarking on a new chapter of ministry here in Gordon Presbytery and throughout the wider Church of Scotland. Our presbytery and presbyteries across the country have recently approved bold and radical plans to address the many challenges that we are facing, challenges relating to membership, to personnel, and of course to property and to finance. The plans being formulated are direct response to the state of the Kirk. And it must be admitted that many people are understandably wringing their hands about the state of the Church of Scotland. The challenges we face have been brewing for a long time, and to be quite blunt, on the national level, we have not adequately addressed these challenges in the last several decades. There's no avoiding that. The challenges have grown bigger and bigger, and rather daunting, to say the least. But now plans, radical action plans, are now being formulated to address the challenges we face to find a way forward in ministry. As I said, these are not easy to overcome. But I have to wonder if there's a hidden gift, maybe even a hidden grace, in the challenges that we are facing. I wonder if God is using this time as we have to let go of certain expressions of ministry, if we have to reckon with new realities. I wonder if God is using this time to prune us, to prune our churches, to strip away our complacencies and our collective and long-held reliance on the false securities of money and power and whatever status we have as the so-called state church. I wonder, as we have to reckon with these real challenges, that if God is using this time to call us back again to a living relationship with the living Lord, I wonder if God is using this time to reignite the fire of a church that at one time was called to be reformed and always reforming. I wonder if we can look at this time, at these challenges, as a time, as I said, of pruning back for the sake of future spiritual fruitfulness. I wonder if God is using this time to remind us that as Christians, as churches, as presbyteries, as a national kirk, we are but mere branches. And apart from Jesus the vine, we can do nothing. And conversely, when we are connected to Jesus, when we seek him with open hearts, with repentant hearts, when we are truly connected to him, then nothing is impossible for the church to accomplish. In the time to come, as we lean into new expressions of ministry here in Kemnay, as we ease out of lockdown, and as we ease out of lockdown, we consider new forms of ministry here in our own community. As we look at new ways of being Christians here in Gordon Presbytery and throughout the Kirk, as we do all of these things, as we do all of these needed tasks, above all of that, and below all that, and around all of that, may God give us an acute awareness of our need for Jesus Christ. In all that we strive to do and all that we hope to accomplish, we must never, ever lose sight of the fact that Jesus is the vine, the source of life, the one who makes it all happen. And we are called to be branches, connected to him. And so may we stay connected to Jesus. And may we trust him to lead us in the ways that God is calling us to go. And may we trust the Lord for future fruitfulness in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Every Christian, every church, every presbytery Every national church has its own dreams, its own ambitions, its own agendas. But if those hopes, dreams, agendas are not connected to God, they come to naught. Ultimately, friends, one thing and one thing only matters: serving the purposes of God.